Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord walk with victory because the Almighty goes before. When the enemy tries to kill me and try to close the door, I just hide in His presence and my spirit starts to soar. Flying, I mountain up with wings like an eagle. Don't have to worry cause the Father clear all evil. Greater is in me than he that's in the world. So I trust Him in me, but when things get worse, I hope in You, my strength is in You. I don't know a little more about You. How the world changed and try to take it from You. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the pool. Young boys, young girls trying to save yours, but who will teach them when the older ones won't grow? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. When I'm down in my spirit and I need to hear God in the corner, sit and turn on my iPod, tune into a message bringing revelation, turn off my BlackBerry and no conversation. I seek up the spirit, so I'm a spirit for man, and if I turn away from that, it's just more temptation. I'm tired of the spotting and the tribulation, cause I want my life to affect the next generation. My hope is You, my strength is You. I want to know a little more about You. As the world changes and try to take it from You. Money, relationship, air pressure in the pool. Young boy, young girl, trying to save joy. But who will teach them when the whole world won't go? Oh Lord, I want to be used by You. Oh, oh, it's easy to be caught up in a messy world. More money, more cars, nothing it is worth. I'm a child of God, yes, I'm repping God. Gotta stay holy until the day comes. Even if I don't even know the preacher preach, I know the way and that's the way I will keep. Pressing to the mark of the higher calling. Oh, in Jesus, hope is in You. My friend is in You. But teach me how to know a little more about You. I humble myself before you. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh, my hope is in You. My strength is in You. Teach me how to know a little more about You. Jesus, I humble myself before You. Yes, I humble myself before You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by You.
Shut up, Joshua. What?
Hey man. All right, folks. Well, good evening and praise the Lord. Welcome.
Big Mike. Brother Steve.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Just wanted to say hello, Brother Mike. How you doing, Big Mike?
I'm making it.
I had a dream about you last night, Big Mike.
Oh, about what? The Steelers?
You dreamed that I saw you with a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform on, lifting up the trophy.
Oh, no.
I wanted to say hello to everybody, Pastor. I'll be sitting in, Pastor Steve. I'm going to let you feed me tonight.
Amen.
I didn't want nothing to say hello to you, brothers. That's all. I right, love y'all.
Appreciate Pastor, you, man. Appreciate you. Love you, too.
You got to feed me.
All right, sir. Amen.
Okay, thank you.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, good evening and praise the Lord. Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalkradio.com. We would like to thank you for your continued support of this ministry. And we have tonight with us Pastor Steve Lee, and he is going to be bringing part two of his teaching on three is the number for victory. So as always, I do encourage you, if you're listening, please grab a notebook pen or a pencil, whatever is nearby, and take notes as we get ready to dive into tonight's teaching with Three is the Number for Victory, Part 2. Pastor Steve, you now have the mic.
Amen. And thank you, Brother Mike, for all that you do in the with the ministry here. So without further ado, we'll just pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men. You teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more as we sojourn in the land of promise by walking in the Spirit, growing from glory to glory and from faith to faith. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, beloved, we want to kind of get into this, and I know there was a little time between the last time we shared with you, but we were talking about the number three being the number for our purpose victory. And I hadn't seen this earlier, but Jesus makes statements, and you got to know that he speaks to us in ways that are mysterious or in mysteries. And sometimes we don't take the time to understand the mystery. And so we just let it kind of just, I don't know, hang out there, and we don't do anything with it. It would be wise for us to get and glean from God the thing he wants us to. He's the one that said that man will not live by bread alone, but man is supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so I say it all of the time, there is enough life in the word but if you would find out what it's there for. Sometimes we just let those words that did not have an understanding for us at the time, we just let them lay there. And so I'm asking us to go back and visit things. That's how I got this revelation here that three is the beginning. I guess I should say that. That's the least that we should always have with us. Because Jesus said this in Matthew 18. He said, if any two of you agree on earth as touching anything, there I am in the midst. Okay? So then that gave me the first construct of three being the number for our purpose victory. And then when I dug into it some more, I find that God's numbering, God's math system is so much different than our math system. He says things like this: grace and peace be multiplied unto you. See, he's not just adding, he does add, but he also multiplies. Why? Because he knows that we are in a system where the devil is trying to steal. So what better way to make sure or guarantee our victory than to use another system of math that is better than subtraction? Stealing, if you would probably represent subtraction. God's not just trying to add, he's multiplying. So that you can wrap your heart around that, if I was subtracting and you are multiplying, am I ever going to take away as much as you are multiplying? Excuse me. It could not happen because I increase exponentially. All right? Just so that you can kind of see that. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 29 says that. I just want you to see God's math, okay? And he asks us here in starting verse 29, he said, I would that they were wise. I would that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. And he asked the question and sets it up. He says, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Except their rock had sold the ones that they're chasing, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. So he says here that one chases 1,000, but two didn't go to 2,000. Two went exponentially to 10,000. Glory to God. So then I begin to look at it and, you know, hear scripture that would support this, because he told Elisha when they were in a fight, he said that there were many more that be with them than those that are against him. And then he prayed for God to open his eyes, and he saw the whole mountain was full of flaming chariots, ready to do battle. And all he was looking at before was an army that was coming against him. But God had the army that was coming against him surrounded in the whole valley. I mean, if you would get that, beloved, and understand that, that's why he makes statements to us that says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. See, because he's already guaranteed your victory. So then a minimal position that we start with is Jesus said, if I can just get two of y'all to agree, I will be there. And then as I investigated further, since the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit agree as one, they move as one. So then if Jesus is there, I can safely say the Father is there. If the Father and Jesus is there, I can safely say that the Holy Spirit is there. So my three just became five, which is now the number of grace. And grace is the thing that empowers me to get my assignment done. Don't you remember it says in Hebrews that Jesus tasted death by the grace of God? He did what he did because grace was empowering him. So then I hear Acts chapter 20, verse 32 that says, and now, brethren, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. See, when I hear scripture, I try to glean from that scripture more than I understood the first time. He said that he is asking me to go back to the place of the word, because the word is going to build me up and give me an inheritance. He didn't say the word was going to build me up and make me earn an inheritance. The word is going to give me an inheritance. Why? Because all of those that be with me are fighting so that victory would be guaranteed to me. See? So I want you to think, you know, God is so interested in you winning in everything, because he's the one that says, Isaiah 55, 11, he says, my word will not return to me void, but that word will prosper in the thing, and you are the thing, beloved, in the thing where I sent it, and it will accomplish that which I please. He said, it will prosper, or it will Multiply. Okay, okay. I mean, just getting an understanding. It will increase. That's why he says things like this. He says that God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He says he will not suffer you to be in a situation that you do not have enough on hand, resident. Okay, please hear that. He didn't say that you would have to go get enough. Okay, just turn over there so you can see it. Again, these are just those things. I want you to kind of write that down. Get this. These should be scriptures that are your staples. Okay? You should just rely on them. That when you're going through things, this should be how you prepare to go through. See? If you don't have victory in your heart, you should probably do something to cause your heart to be settled in that. See, again, just so that you know, it Hebrews chapter 14 says that 13, I'm sorry, says that God is on your side. He says that I will not fear what man can do to me, because God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And because you know this, therefore you will not fear what man can do unto you. See, so when you're going through things, you should understand that God has already planned my victory. There are steps that are preordained that I should walk in. Come on, y'all. See, I mean, come on. I just keep hearing scripture after scripture after scripture. He said that the steps that he's given me were not steps that need to be done in a hurry. I don't have to be running from trouble. See, that's why he says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. He's not trying to get me to move in haste because everything behind me is threatening me. No, I will not fear what man can do unto me. For the Lord said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then he says, I want your conversation to be bold. Therefore, I will boldly say. I will say with confidence. See, I don't have to fear this. I don't have to be scared of that. See, when you add things up, three being the beginning number for your purpose victory. I mean, it doesn't even take much. He said, if I could just get two to agree, then the thing will be done for them. I'm just trying to get you to see. He builds you up and gives you an inheritance. See? So if we would begin to think about that while we're going through it, before we go through it, when we get to the end of it, because all of the things concerning me have an end. I'm not supposed to be the one perpetually going from trial to trial. I'm supposed to go from glory to glory. I'm supposed to go from faith to faith, not from trial to trial, not from frustration to frustration, not from frustration to fear. I'm supposed to go from glory. Come on, understand this. I'm supposed to go from glory to glory. I'm supposed to be elevated. And from my elevated position, I can see victory. Oh, glory to God. Just please. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into the tower, and they are safe. A tower represents an elevated place. So then I need to go to the place where my sight is different from what I see in my horizon. I don't need to look at things. Come on now. I don't need to look at things at a level plane. He wants me to look at things from an elevated view. See? I want you to kind of get that. If I'm looking out through my problems, I probably will not see my God. Okay? See, I need to be doing what he said he wants to have happen in my life. I need to be looking from an elevated position. Why do you think he even bothered to seat us together with him in heavenly places? Mm-hmm. See, he wants me to be able to look at things from an elevated view. Because when I look at things, thank you, sir, because when I look at things from an elevated view, they are smaller than they would be if I'm trying to look through them. I just want you to kind of get that. See? If I use the position, all right, if I use the position that I've been given in Christ Jesus, I will hear certain things. Psalms chapter 2 says that he that sits in the heavens laughs. See? So that tells me that since I've been seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, I would hear a whole different conversation. And the conversation will cause joy to be around me. He who sits in the heavens laughs. See, I'm not supposed to be inundated with fears and frustration. Isaiah chapter 12. I'm trying to get back to the verse. I know where it is, but I just want you to build your faith. Isaiah chapter 12. Oh, Lord. Verse 2 tells us, 2 and 3 tells us that we're supposed to draw from the, with joy, we're supposed to draw our salvation. See? For with joy we shall draw out of the wells of salvation. Not with frustration. I'm supposed to do that with joy. Not fear. See? When I start off knowing that three being the beginning of my victory, the number three being the beginning of my victory, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I mean, I it's good to have someone to agree with me. I remember there are times that I'll be doing some projects, and the project takes, it is a project that could be laborious. It could be very detailed, and people will come in and you know, ask me, how you doing? And you got some help? And I would say things all the time. This is a 35-year plus confession. I would say, yeah, I always know I can count on three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy. I mean, I can count on that. And while I'm doing that, I can remind myself of these things. God just brought it back up again. God would give me shortcuts to get things done. You do know that part of the Holy Ghost's job description, if you would. Jesus said, and when he has come, he will lead you into all truth. He will bring all things to your remembrance, what I've said. He will teach you all things. He will show you things to come, and he will give you power. So then I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing, and the next thing you know, I get a shortcut. I mean, a tremendous gain of advantage from time's sake. There was one time I was building some, because I worked in construction, and I was building some additions to the church. And people came to help me, and, you know, that was good. And they were in construction as a profession. I was doing what I'm doing as unto the Lord, because that's what the church needed. And I was on staff at the church. And so they came in to help me build the walls. And so then I just told them what God showed me to do. And they executed at my instruction. And again, this is what they do for a living too. So it wasn't like I was speaking Greek, but I said, God, show me a shortcut. And so they said, well, let me see if it can help you, it can help me. And I showed them what God taught me. And they looked at me and said, man, please, you just saved me a half hour per wall, per room. Okay, every time you get to another corner of a wall, the thing that God showed me would save him a whole half hour.
You multiply that over all the rooms of the house. How much time did you just get back? And I said, well, I don't know because all I do is follow what God tells me. And he said, man,
I'm glad because
I've been doing it the traditional way. I understand it, but this takes it and does not shortcut the process. It just shows you how to do it so that it all works together for your good.
So it would be wise of us to allow the Holy Ghost to teach us things that we don't know about the revelations that he already has put in there for us. See, if he made everything, that's what the Bible says in John chapter 1, that there was nothing made that was not made by him.
Well, since it was made by him, he was then know purpose for it, shortcuts to get it done. He would know that, wouldn't he?
So then I just said, well, then, you know, this is going to be a good thing for me. See? And so I began to just listen at him for that. See? And then enjoy it. Because he's the one that gives me an understanding that it's going to be a good time for me. See? So just look at what he says here as you let your heart take this, okay? As you let your heart take this. He said, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. See, God has never been interested in you straining under the pressure of a thing. Because he said, first of all, God will not allow that to happen. And I know while we're going through things, we believe that, okay, this is too much for me to take. I don't know what to do. I don't see how to win.
But you see, God programmed into the trial, okay? Please forget what he just said. There is no temptation, there is no trial that is taking you. First of all, it has to be common to man. It can't be one of those first time they never happened before situations. I know that's how we feel. I know that's how we think. But God just said it cannot happen. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man.
But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able.
I love that.
Because that tells me that God is not going to put me through the trials that you should have.
He's only going to put me through the trials that I can stand.
So God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. See, but in your mind, you're going to have to agree with God rather than argue with God. Again, he said, if you're going to participate in your joy, with joy, you should draw from the wells of salvation. All right, just flip over there so you can see it again. This is Isaiah chapter 12. Okay? Just write these down. Commit these to your heart. Put these in front of your eyes all the time so that you can see this. You know, it's good to remember what God has said because you're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The way the Bible was written, he wasn't writing the Bible so that the people that were hearing the conversation at the time were the only people that could participate in that promise. Because the Bible teaches us in Revelation 12 that the Word of God is the spirit of prophecy. The words of Jesus are the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? That he was speaking it into of the life of the person that was in the account. but he was speaking it into your life when you're faced with the same issues that they were faced with. Okay? All right, I'll go back to that one in just a minute. Look at Isaiah chapter 12. It says, and in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. I mean, please, y'all. Even if we would think that God was mad at us, he said, in this day, there should be a different conversation. Come on, y'all. I know that we glean from the faith of our mother and from the faith of our grandmother and from the faith of our great-grandmother. I know that we glean from that. But see, I should not try to live by that. I should just glean from that. There is a table that's set before me in the very presence of my enemies. I don't glean from that table. I eat from that table. I get my sustenance from that table. See, sometimes we're about to go into the holiday season, and you can walk into a house that has been preparing meals all day, and there will be a gleaning that you can do just because of the aroma. You can prepare your whole being to receive great food because you smelled the aroma of the food. That would be gleaning. But let me tell you, beloved, you don't get full off of a gleaning. You get full off of an eating, of partaking. See, most of the things that your mother told you, and most of the things that your grandmother told you, and most of the things that you heard about your great-grandmother, those were gleanings because you weren't there when it was happening for most of that. But God is setting a table before you in the very presence of your enemies, and he wants you to eat from that table. Okay? That's partaking of every word. That's living by each word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In that day, thou shalt say, I will praise thee. Though you were angry, thine anger is turned away. And not only is your anger turned away, but you comforted me. Glory to God. So that tells me that he does not want anger in my life, even if I think he was the one that's mad at me. He said, no, that's been turned, and you comforted me. Okay? See, I already quoted the scripture that says, when the Holy Ghost has come, he's the comforter. He will bring to your remembrance what Jesus said. The way he wants to comfort you is to bring to your remembrance what the word is said. And the word is prophetic. So he's not just talking about your past. He's opening up your future. Today, if you will hear his voice. See, he's trying to present you a future. Remember he just said, I commend you unto God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Okay? Verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. He did not say God will be my salvation, did he? See, that's why Jesus is in the midst. When he can get agreement with his word, he's in the midst to do something. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. See, he wants to show himself strong. That's what it says in 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth so that he can show himself strong. Not show himself weak, but show himself strong in the behalf of all of those who have a heart that is mature, a perfect heart towards him. It says, behold, look into this, know this. The word behold means to look into. Glory to God. Come on, y'all. It means to look into. He didn't just say look at. He said look into. You look at your circumstances. You look at the attack that's coming against you. But he wants you to look into his word. He wants you to look into his promise. Glory to God. See? He even said, look unto, looking unto Jesus. See, that means that my gaze is not at the end of my hand. The gaze that I get is not at the end of my hand. It's not the short reach of a thing. I need to look unto. That's a little further away than the grasp of my hand, isn't it? To look into, that's deeper than what the surface revelation would be, isn't it? See, these are the things that God is asking us to do. He wants us to look unto Jesus. He wants us to look into, behold. He doesn't want us just to look at. And a lot of times in our lives, we just look at the circumstances. You know what the word circumstances is. That means things circled around you, standing against you. Circumstances. It's a compound word. See? And God does not want you to look at the things that are circled around you. He wants to look. He wants you to look at the things that you're going into. Because you're coming out of the things that are circled around you, you're going to go unto another place. You're going to go into victory. He comes at things from a different perspective. Remember, he's the one that said, I will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to stand, and will with the temptation make a way of escape. You're going to come out of. You're going to go unto. You will not stay in the place where you are. But in our heart, we get frustrated and we get fearful. And so that locks us down so we no longer move or approach God. He said, look at this. Come on. Back to, he said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. And I will not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Please hear all the minds that are there. Glory to God. That's good, sir. See, God is telling you that I'm there with you. He didn't say to have eye trouble right then. See? He wants you to be able to enter into that which God is in with you. Did he not say, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you, therefore your conversation should be different, I will not fear what man can do unto me. Okay? God is my salvation. He is my soul. He is my strength. And then verse 3 says, therefore, because God is my song, because God is my strength, because God is become. I mean, I just love the way that is written here. I know King James is sometimes hard to read, but when you hear it, it gives you an impact. Notice he didn't say he will become. He said he is become. That is perfect. Present tense. He is become my salvation. Glory to God. Okay. You could say, I is in a problem. I is in a trial. Well, if you go say that, make the other statement, God is become my salvation. Glory to God. But see, if I don't take the time to make him my song, if I don't take, look at the order. If I don't take the time to allow him to be my strength, he will not be my song. And if he's not my song, he will not become my salvation. Because when I am strengthened, then I have a resolve on the inside, and I'm not moved by what I see. Again, I will not fear what man can do unto me, because God is become my strength. He is become my song. He is become my salvation. Therefore, because he is, I will then do what? I will with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation. See, I'm not drawing from the wells of my salvation in fear, trembling, frustration, or worry. No, because he is become, because he is my, then I change what I draw with. I draw with joy. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. See? I would find it very hard to lose when joy is the thing that's pushing me forward. Because joy is attached to faith, is attached to love. Isn't that what Galatians chapter 5 teaches us? It teaches us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. See, they are connected. See? So then if, in fact, I'm going to reach with joy into my salvation, notice it says the fruit of the Spirit is first love, then joy. If I'm going to reach for joy, love has to be active. Is that correct? And love, the Bible tells me, never fails. See? So I'm just trying to frame this up, because as you go through the next year, I don't want you to end 2019 thinking that 2020 is going to be bad. No, in fact, 2020 should be crystal clear for you. You should have victory so sealed in your spirit that as you approach 2020, you are unstoppable. Glory to God. Because we have an assignment to complete. We have a God to usher back into the earth because of the victory that we walk in. Because as he is, so are we in this world. See? That's why he told us to pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to walk it out the way I'm supposed to walk it out. Why? Because victory has already been given unto me. I have been built up, and I received my inheritance. With joy, therefore. Every time I see the word therefore, I remind you, you need to back up and see what it's there for. If God has not become your strength, if he's not become your song, if he's not become your salvation, you have no therefore. Therefore, because of this, with joy, I'm going to draw out of the wells of salvation. I would ask this question then. If I'm drawing my salvation and I'm drawing it with fear, do I get the same amount of breakthrough, breakdown, break up that I'm looking for? Because if I'm doing it with fear, I'm going to have limited access to whatever my salvation would be. But if I with joy draw, I am now unlimited in my supply. See? I just kind of look at it the way it's written for us. See, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have that life without limit. No restrictions, nothing missing, nothing broken. When I draw from that position, that's more than a conqueror, isn't it? Yeah. And then watch what happens. In verse 1, he said, I will praise you because I thought you was angry and I'm trying to make my mind be changed. Come on now. Look at that. He said, in that day, I will praise you, verse 1, and I knew that you was angry, but now I see your anger is turned away. Then when he gets to verse 4, he says, and in this day I will praise the Lord, and I will call upon his name. I will talk to him from a different position. I'm not talking to him to ask him to forgive me. I'm not talking to him to ask me to have mercy on me. I'm talking to him now because he's going to be the one to deliver. Did you see that? In verse 1, my focus was that God was mad at me. In verse 4, I'm going to call upon his name, and I'm going to declare his doings among the people. I'm going to make mention that his name is exalted. Whole different conversation, isn't it? Okay? There has to be a transition so that I can move from verse 1 to verse 4. And the way I'm supposed to transition, he said, is to draw out of the wells of salvation with joy. That's the same thing as he told us in Hebrews chapter 4. He says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, that we may find the grace to help in the time of need. See, I receive from a different position. If I'm not in the elevated position, if I'm not thinking and looking at the thing from a different perspective, from an elevated view, then I'm probably not going to try to draw out of my well of salvation with joy. And that means I can only get a limited amount of breakthrough. Okay? Because I didn't allow the anointing to destroy the yoke. I'm not looking for broken yokes. I'm looking for destroyed yokes. He said in Isaiah chapter 10, 27, that the anointing would destroy the yoke. See? So then because of joy, come on, see, because joy has strengthened me, I'm not looking for a limited amount of victory. I'm looking for an unlimited amount of victory. An unlimited amount of victory would be the destruction of the yoke, not just the breaking of the yoke. A broken yoke might be able to be put back together, but a destroyed yoke is through. See? But when I draw out of the wells of salvation from this position with this joy, I'm unlimited in my supply. That's what God wants for you. In that day, that's what you should say. Excuse me. And I would make mention in that day that his name is exalted. Come on, y'all. I will make mention in that day that his name, thank you, Lord, that his name is lifted up and his name lifted me up. His name is exalted. There is no other name given among men whereby they must be saved. And his name is exalted. For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Okay? And so I'll make mention that his name is delivered. That at the mention of his name, it says in Philippians 2, that at every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That happens at the name. That at the name of Jesus, there is activity that takes place that victors enjoy. But see, if I don't draw out of the wells of salvation with joy, I'm going to probably think like and act like and be a victim. I'm supposed to be a victor. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And that confession will work for my glory. To the glory of God the Father. I will make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, because he's done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And the reason he's in the midst, he said, if I can just get two to agree on earth, there am I in the midst. There am I causing the number three to be activated, because that's our number for purpose victory. Number three brings us into automatic grace. And grace is not insufficient. Grace is sufficient. See? Agreement is necessary for the flow of God to be seen. He's asking you to agree with him, to agree with his word. And that agreement must be declared. He just said here, I will make decrees. I will declare. Okay, just to see that. He said, I will make decrees. I will declare. He didn't say, I will solicit. That's just what it says there. See, when I'm accustomed to the presence of God, it changes my conversation. I'm not just making solicitations and hoping that things will work out. No. I can now make declarations. Thou shalt declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. See? And because I am now drawing out of joy and I'm receiving strength. See, that's the way it happens, beloved. I'm drawing out of joy, receiving strength, so that now my confession is different than when I first started. You do see the difference in verse 1 and in verse 4. In verse 1, I was still thinking God might be mad at me. But in verse 4, I'm now making declarations. I am not bold as a lion. I am now understanding that I've been made the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. That I shall see those that come out against me one way, I shall see them flee before my face seven ways. I am now the bold one in Christ Jesus. See? Because I'm the one making declarations. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, I'm the one that's calling those things that be not as though they were. And I know that as I speak from this position, because the joy of the Lord that is strengthened me gives me the ability to call those things that be not in faith. I'm not just calling them because I know the scripture. Now I'm speaking out of my spirit, and those things that come out of my spirit, Jesus said, if you believe in your heart that the things that you say will come to pass, then you will have whatsoever you say. See, it's coming out of my spirit now because I've been strengthened with might in the inner man. See, I'm no longer concerned about, glory to God, I'm no longer concerned about the enemy, because the table that was set before me in the presence of my enemies was the place I was supposed to get strength so that I can then decree and declare, and my enemy will see my God fulfill those desires of my heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will bring that thing to pass. See? Now, all of the heavens will see. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It says that the church has been given the power to release the wisdom of God, and principalities and power will see the manifold wisdom of God. They will see what God wanted to do in your life. They will see victory brought to pass in your life, because you are declaring and decreeing a thing, and it will be established unto you. Okay. This is the way that we're supposed to live. This is why three is our starting point. It's the number of our proposed or purposed victory. See, you are not one that's begging God to do a thing. Because I enter into praise. Mm-hmm. Praise and thanksgiving is what happens after you receive. Glory to God. When you go to the restaurant and you eat, you give a tip because that shall thank you for the meal that you received. You sat down at the table and you ate at the table, and what you ate, you turned into a praise, and your praise released declarations of the goodness of your God, and you see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I'm giving you connected paths and steps so that you will be able to put your life in order through the understanding of the word, line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. So I'm giving it to you from that perspective. God has already given you the victory. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. They are yes, and so be it, unto the glory of God by us. See? Not by the hope of God in us, by the glory. See, I found out that the glory settles it. See? We have this glory in open vessels. And the glory, when it is released right, changes everything. Jesus was filled with the glory of God. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we then are partakers of that grace. Grace for grace. He didn't say grace for fear. He didn't even say grace for hope. He said grace for grace. We are partaking of the fullness of this grace. With joy, you will draw water out of the wells of salvation. There has to be agreement. It's necessary for the flow of God to be seen. You remember what it says in Psalms 33? He said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. And you just live over there. Verse 1 of Psalms 133 says, behold, look into, there it is again, look into, find out about this, check this out, behold. I mean, behold would be maybe a step above just, wait a minute, what you think about? It would be look into it, check it out, look from all angles, dig deep, behold. He's no longer interested in you glossing over a thing. He needs for you to dig in. He needs for you to eat. Partake. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity is like the precious ointment on the head that ran down upon the beard. Even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment. I mean, I want you to understand, he said that if I can get agreement, it's like the oil. It's a type of the oil. And he said, this oil flows all the way from the top to the bottom. It encompasses all of you. It flows from his head to his garment. We need to get that. In other words, there was no part of you that was not in contact with the flow of unity, with the power of agreement. There was no part of your life that was left out. I mean, God said a powerful thing in Genesis chapter 11. He said, the people is one. Therefore, because of this agreement, there is nothing that can be restrained from them. Glory to God. See, when I behold and look into the thing, wow, when I look into the thing the right way, I will understand there is no way I can allow the devil to cause division between my brother and myself. I can't allow division to be in my family. I cannot allow division to be in my house. Because God says my people shall dwell in peaceable habitations, in sure dwelling places. I just can't even allow it to be at my job. Come on now. I can't even allow disharmony to be at my job. I am the peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. He didn't say the peace finders. He said the peacemakers. When there was no peace, I go and make peace. I make peace through my intercession. I make peace through my declaration. I make it. See? And then when I do that, now I can enjoy the unity. And when I enjoy the unity, it causes a flow from the head down to the skirts of his garment. It's the same way the dew comes down from the mountain Hermon, and the dew that descended on the mountains of Zion. Why? Because in this flow, in this place of unity, God commanded blessing, even life forevermore. See, agreement has to be connected to the flow of God. And so what the devil has done is he's tried to replace or counterfeit everything that God has put in place. He works things in reverse. So what does he try to do? Tries to cause a confusion, frustration, anxiety. See, that's not how you're supposed to draw from the well of salvation. He said, with joy, draw it. When Jesus was going through the worst time of his life, Hebrews chapter 12, it says, we're supposed to consider him. Because what did he do? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And because he used joy this way, he is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. You have not resisted against blood, striving against sin. You've not resisted unto blood. See, so this place of unity, this place of joy, makes so much power available, it can even resurrect dead things. Jesus tasted death by the grace of God. And from that place of death, the joy that was set before him caused him to be able to be raised back to life. It took him outside of the realm of boundaries and put him back in the place where he was, where he received the Spirit without measure. Put him back to that place. That whatever the enemy had set up, whatever the enemy had intended, it was a vain imagination and could not come to pass. Because Jesus had stuff that was working on the inside. He said, you can't take my life from me. I lay my life down, and I pick it up again. This commandment have I received of the Father. See, that was joy strengthening him in his worst situation. He had never been separated from God. But because he received the commandment to lay down and pick up his life, it was no issue with him. And so God has given you life commandments, that you've been made the head and not the tail, that you've been made above only and not beneath. That's why he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he needs for you to change your conversation and boldly say, I will not fear what man can do unto me. See? These are things that would allow us to see the manifestation that God has for our life. I mean, it really is just a plan that's guaranteed victory from the beginning. But if you don't behold, if you don't look into it, if you just gloss over it, if you just look at it and don't look into it, if you lost $5 in your front room and you knew you lost the $5 in your front room, are you just going to glance around at the tables and see if the money is there? No, you're going to take that room apart. You're going to behold. You're going to look into, aren't you? Well, that's the same way he's asking you to be about his word. Look into it. See? Take it apart. God can stand you. He's the one that told us this. He said we need to study to show ourselves approved, a a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly taking apart, rightly dividing the word of truth. Break it down so that you can see it. Break it down so that you can understand it. Break it down so that you can operate in it. But the devil tries to get us to agree with him because he's working everything in reverse. That's why it's important that we get away from public opinion. Public opinion is detrimental to the state. Just detrimental. What everybody else is doing this, okay, but what did God say? Romans 3 says that we're supposed to let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care what public opinion says. You know, I can understand. Today there was a news account that said that, that people were giving Chick-fil-A grief, I think it was, because of no longer supporting giving people money. And one of the people that they said they were not going to support was the Salvation Army because of a view that the Salvation Army has taken that was public opinion. See, I get it, beloved. I understand that we want to find that compassion is greater than the word of God. No, compassion has to become subject to the word of God. If compassion is not subject to the word of God, then all it's going to be is humanity run amok. See? If I'm going to have compassion so that we see it, the end of compassion is victory for the one that we are extending compassion to. If I'm going to leave someone in their sin, am I having compassion on them? I would say not. The Apostle Paul had the same issue. He said, what, should I say that you should sin so that grace would abound? So that compassion can be seen? He said, God forbid. I'm going to have to tell you what you're doing that's wrong. Not because I'm great and I don't want to see that sin. No, because I want you to enjoy the word of God that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. So I cannot agree with alphabet soup. LBGTQ, all the rest of it. I can't agree with that. Why? Because it does not allow the person who's going through that trial the ability to partake of the word of God. They are stuck with their humanity gone amok. There is a way that seems right, but the end of that way is destruction. It says the ways of destruction. So I cannot just continue to allow public opinion to shape my world. I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, not by public opinion. And that's where the enemy is trying to take us. Well, you got to love on the sinner. I love the sinner by giving the sinner truth. And Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He did not say, and you shall experience my compassion, and somewhere down the line, my compassion will cause you to be free. No, he said, truth makes you free. And sometimes truth is not convenient, because public opinion says you should allow them to do what. Serve God the way they want to serve God. No, we can't serve God the way that you want to serve God. You must serve him with all your heart. You cannot serve God the way you want to and call that all your heart. Because if you got the part of your heart that you still control, you don't serve him with that part, do you? Come on, y'all, make it plain. If I serve God with a part of my heart, but I don't serve him with all of it, then I'm not serving God. I'm serving me. God, I can't read it any other way, beloved. I'm not trying to hate on people that are in delusion. I'm not trying to do that. But if I leave them in their delusion, where is compassion? Please see what happened. Jesus said, it said about Jesus that he had compassion upon them and He healed them all. He did not have compassion on them and left them in their mess. The other side, or the end result of compassion, would always be healing. Okay, wow, that's good, sir. You can write this one down. It's very good. The other side of compassion would always be healing, not feeling. Glory to God. So we're trying to make compassion end in feeling. No, compassion ends in healing. Glory to God. Okay? Because when I do that, when I extend truth to them, and they come to the place where they can enjoy freedom, God can restore all of the years that the canker worm stole. He can restore that. He can redeem the time. Isn't that what he told us to do? He told us to redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Time that is not redeemed is time that is wasted. Come on, somebody. Time that is not redeemed is time that is wasted. If I leave a person in their sin, that is wasted time. Compassion moves me to healing, not to feeling. Jesus heard these words. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So please hear him. See? He didn't say, this is the best politician of the day. Hear him. He said, my beloved son is who you should hear. Because all my son is going to do is say what the Holy Ghost said. And the Holy Ghost is going to lead you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. But that which he hears of the Father, that's what he will show you. I mean, it's real simple, beloved. So we get deceived because we think that we're supposed to feel by compassion. No, I'm supposed to heal by compassion. See, when I do that, then the Father is pleased. That tells me if the Father is pleased that I just release faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't know. We think that the scripture says without comfort, it's impossible to please God. No, he said without faith, it's impossible to please God. And sometimes faith will take you to a place that's uncomfortable. Jesus went to his own, and his own received him not. That's a place that was uncomfortable. But Jesus did it by faith. I always do the things that please the Father. I only say what the Father says. I only do what I see the Father do. I didn't do what society said was available. Because if I only do what society says is available, I just lost my victory. Didn't Jesus tell them that if they would do things like that, that they were working iniquity? Come on, y'all. He told people that would work iniquity to depart because they didn't know him. He didn't know them. Notice what they worked. They worked the iniquity. They did not work faith. They did not work righteousness. They did not work truth. They worked iniquity. They made it look good. They put lipstick on a pig. But when you get through with all of the lipstick and you find a way to have the washing of the water by the word, the lipstick will come out and you'll find that it's still a pig. See, we got to get better at this. I'm not condemning. That's not my point at all. People cannot accuse me. They cannot accuse the word of being homophobic. They cannot accuse the word of being a prejudice, okay? The word Jesus said was here so that you can have freedom. Truth is here so that he can make you free. Please hear the phrase, the truth will make you free. He did not say set you free. It said make you free. What does that mean? That you're going to have to go through process after
mind by the Spirit of the living God.
See? You're going to have to go through that because we want that which is comfortable and convenient. We want that which feels good. But you know, that which feels good today can kill you tomorrow. See? Because I know and understand that sin has pleasure for a season. But I'm not trying to get you to enjoy the season. I'm trying to get you to participate in life everlasting. See, there is the difference. See, compassion does not end with feeling. Passion ends with healing. And healing is not constituted when you do it my way. Healing is constituted when truth is received and you do it God's way. See, Jesus made for himself no reputation. And I have the same responsibility to make for myself no reputation. You don't have to agree with it. Not required. You see, I know the Bible says, he that is unfaithful, let him be unfaithful still. He that is unholy, let him be unholy still. He that is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. I don't have to get you to approve of what I'm saying. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like me. You can still be unholy. God's judgment will be exactly the same, exactly as written. So I'm trying to get you to stay away from the lake of fire. I'm not even trying to get you to stay away from hell. Hell is not our problem. Because he said hell and death will be placed in the lake of fire. There's your problem. See? And we're trying to just say, well, that's the way they see God. No, that's not. That's the way they've been blinded by the God of this world. And it's our job to let our light so shine. But because of public opinion, we're saying, well, you know, we can't tell them what to do. I can't speak against their preferences. Yes, I can. I have to. Because if I don't tell them the truth, God said their blood would be on my hands. That's not a good proposition for me. I'm working my best to get to heaven, and I'm going to try to get there by letting blood be on my hands? No, that's not smart. He told me to go and make disciples, and then he made sure I got it of all men. And then teach them to observe everything that I've said unto you. And lo, I'll be with you, and then you won't have to fear what man can. Come on, y'all. So I'm not asking you to go and condemn. That's not in my heart. But if I don't give them the word, the Bible tells me in the book of John that they are condemned already. Truth came unto them, but men love darkness rather than light. See? And so that means they're living condemned already. I don't leave them in that state. I leave them with an opportunity to repent. I don't have to demand repentance. All I have to do is release repentance. The Bible says it's the goodness, come on, y'all, come on. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads to repentance. It's not the goodness of man that leads to repentance. The goodness of man leads me in my sin. The goodness of man has made alphabet soup. The goodness of man has allowed decisions to be made from a child that's 8 that says they want to transition, have a transsexual lifestyle. They want to transition into becoming a woman. That's what the goodness of man has done. Where the child knows what he wants. No, an 8-year-old child don't know what they want. They couldn't. They haven't been there long enough to experience the hurt that says, no, stay away from that. And now you're going to allow them to take on the body of a woman? How stupid have we become? That's not an option. Not because I don't like it, but because they cannot bring glory to God who made them as a man when they're trying to change the glory of God into that of beasts. Beasts don't have the ability to discern right from wrong. Beasts just eat and do day by day. But he gave us his spirit and a mind that should be activated by Christ. That I'm supposed to bring every thought into captivity until the thought obeys Christ. If the thought obeys Christ, surely my body will come into subjection. See, but I have let licentiousness has allowed me to say, well, just think any way you want them. God loves them just the way they are. That would not be true, beloved. If that was true, it would not read, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have life everlasting. If he wanted to let you perish, he would not have sent his only begotten son. He did not want to leave you that way. Come on, just read the scripture. You don't have to interpret it. Just read it. He loved the world, and he said, I don't want them to go to hell. I will give them an opportunity to receive my son. And now when they do that and walk in the truth that my son reveals, they will not perish. They will have life everlasting. Did I read that wrong? Is that not what he just said? Was that not the inception of the plan of salvation? That's a soul loved. Leaving them in their sin was not a soul loved. So I cannot be complacent because you choose to walk contrary to the word of God. I have to tell you that that will not work out for you in the long term. Oh, I know you don't believe in the life hereafter. Okay, how about life everlasting? That's not the hereafter. Everlasting has to take care of my right now. Otherwise, it cannot be everlasting. Everlasting has to take care of the point after that statement was made from now on. That's not life hereafter. That's life from now on. Otherwise, help me out. If I'm going to say everlasting, it has to include the time that I said it. Otherwise, it cannot be everlasting. It would have to have read in the great by and by. It would have to be a reward after life. This one includes life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, not in the future. More abundantly includes now, doesn't it? See, when you rightly divide the word of truth, it's easy to then help people come out of the darkness. Because I'm not condemning them in the darkness. All I'm doing is turning on the light in the room that they're standing in and showing them the door. That's all I'm doing. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He did not say, behold, I stand at the door. Come on now. He did not say, I stand at the door and I judge. He said, no, I didn't even come to judge. Judgment's coming later. What I'm doing is I'm coming to knock so that you can get out of this place where judgment has to occur. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, A-L-L, all should come to the knowledge of the truth. See? That's what he came for. So I simply agree with him. See? And then because I agree with him, I don't walk around trying to condemn you. Well, it would be impossible for me to condemn you, first of all, because he who is without sin, let him work on the condemnation. So since I know I am forgiven of all of the things that I've done, then I can offer you the same forgiveness. I can offer you the same grace. God didn't condemn me when I was out there having three fools. I promise you, if Paul was chief sinner, I was sinner number two. Guarantee you. I wasn't rebelling. I was running away from God fast as I could. And my pastor just said, and I agreed with him, I was going to live hard, die young, and be a pretty corpse. That's not what God wanted, but that was my mindset. Because I was going to make sure I enjoyed everything that I could see, everything that I can do. I still do that. I enjoy all the sin that I want to. I just don't want to. That's the only difference now. Before, I was trying to get all the sin in my life that I wanted to, and I wanted to. Now, I simply don't want to. Didn't make me better than anybody else. It made me accountable to me. I didn't want to sin. Because I recognize that against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. So then create in me a new heart and a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Then I will teach transgressors your way. Okay? Uphold me, Lord, with thy free spirit. Whatever you do, Lord, don't take your joy from me. See, that becomes the heart cry of someone that has been touched by the power of God and then wants to give that power because it didn't cost me anything. It can't cost you anything. Jesus paid the price. The exchange is not made by me. It's not made through me. It's made because I offer what he gave me. Freely I have received. Freely give. Okay? I don't have to demand that they do it my way. I don't have a way. Jesus made it very clear to me. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. My name is not in there. I don't see a Stevie Lee in there at all. See? So because God has given me the privilege and honor to escort someone to the throne room of grace, I simply do that. And then because I did that and they accept, I get a reward. How about that? I get a reward for simply walking the same way Jesus walked, in obedience to the Father, in obedience to the Word, in obedience to the Spirit. And because of that, I get a reward. Man, what kind of deal is this? I get to take people out of darkness and introduce them to light. And I get a reward for that. I didn't provide the light. See, what we did is we stood at the door as if we were the keepers of the door. I'm not the keeper of the door. I'm one that's glad to have been asked to come in. And so then what I do is I say here, hey, simple, how long will you be simple? I just cry in the street, the same thing that wisdom cries. That there is life in him. That there is light in him. And in him, there is no darkness at all. So then I can present that to them. Why? Because the grace was extended to me. And it becomes real easy then for me to go ahead and extend that same grace. I can comfort them with the grace wherewith I have been comforted with. See, it's real simple. So my number three, which is the number for my proposed or purposed victory. It's easy for me to get that because I'm just simply a co-laborer with God. See? I'm not one that's trying to be God. I'm a co-laborer with him. I'm one that's finding out that the grace in my life is made available for everybody the same exact way. But the choice is yours. What would it take for you? Hospital bed? A jail cell? The loss of all things? God is hoping that he won't take that. He's hoping that you will just allow light to shine into your heart in the areas that you've not allowed him in, that you will say, I want more of you, Jesus. I hunger and thirst for righteousness. And you said, if I do that, that I would be filled. And those that are filled can then offer from the table of salvation. They can offer from the well of salvation freely. And we can change the society that is working contrary to your love, to your will, to your understanding, by trying to do what's pleasing in their sight, not knowing that forever is a very long time. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and we thank you for your word. A word that causes us to awake to righteousness, awake to life, and then sin no more. A word that gives us hope and a future because you're dealing with us day by day so that we can hear your voice and then expect you to say to us that walk in obedience. Well done. Enter thou into the rest of the Lord. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks, let's go ahead and open up lines and receive commentary for tonight's teaching, starting with area code 470-418. 470-418, you have the mic.
Amen. 470-418. Amen. Thank you for being
all right.
There.
All right, looks like 470 is our only caller right now. So with that being said, Pastor Steve, is there anything else that you would like to close out on before the broadcast
will end? I haven't gotten to half of the scriptures that I was going to get to because we need to deal with this from God's perspective, you know. And that was just good that to be able to share with my brothers and sisters how God is looking at where we are positioned in this time. So find out what he wants you to say and do about the confusion that's prevalent in the world. Again, not by judgment, but with compassion, because compassion is not supposed to be felt. It's not a feeling. Compassion ends in healing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks. We would like to thank you for tuning in to tonight's broadcast. If you've been blessed by the teachings that you've heard here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com, please show a seat at www.livedeliverance.com. Also, if you wanted to go and listen to any of the previous broadcasts, you can do so by going to blogtalkradio.com/live deliverance, and there you can just tune into the archives and pull up any of the previous broadcasts that you've heard here. With that being said, if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone. Have a blessed week, and see you next time. Shalom, everyone.
Amen. Shalom. Wow. Thank you, Lord.